He charged me with resisting arrest.
Get that confidence in jail.
I object.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Allegedly Bravo. I'm Lauren. And today we are going to be deep diving into Cameron Westcott's husband's father's property dispute with Katy Perry. Okay. All roads lead to Bravo. I cannot stress this enough. Okay, Cameron Westcott. Okay, let's just start over because, like, I'm sure, like, my mom's tuning in, like, what, who? Okay, Cameron Westcott was a real housewife of Dallas. Okay, she was the one who dressed in pink. She like wanted to be Barbie, you know, so on so forth. That was her thing. She was married and still is to this, like, short little guy. He's a wee little man. And they're so cute. Like, they love each other. Great for them. Two kids named Hilton and, I don't know, something else, like Jagger or something. I don't know. They all have those, like, fun little names. Okay. So she, the Real Housewife of Dallas, her husband, Court, who's the wee little guy, he came from, like, a super wealthy family, very, very, very rich. And so Cameron married into that family. And the way they got rich was from Court's dad. And Court's dad is named Carl. So we have Court, Carl, and Cameron. Okay? Court, Carl, Cameron. So we're just going to call him Grandpa Westcott and, you know, call it a day, because I can't with Court and Cam and Carl. It's just too many. So I'm going to skip it. So this is the big headline that's been taking a nation by storm. Okay. It was Radar Online had a wild headline this week. Okay. And it read as follows. 83-year-old veteran fighting Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom over $15 million mansion demands his doctor be allowed to testify in trial. Okay, so obviously we're all like, what? Katy Perry? This is before any of us knew the Cameron of it all. The Real Housewives of Dallas of it all. Oh my God, Katy Perry is trying to evict an old man who fought in war for our country? That's wild of her. Why would she do that, right? Okay, then the next headline comes out. Photos. See the bedridden 83-year-old veteran fighting Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom for his home. And this is no laughing matter. When I tell you those photos, you should take a look at them because they are quite distressing. They really are quite distressing. They're also very interesting because there are, you know, it's always uncomfortable to see people, like, in vulnerable positions, at least for me. So it's interesting. There's, like, this photo of the Grandpa Westcott laying in the bed with the dog and all that. And it looks really sad. And I'm just like, God, if I'm ever in a position like that and someone sells my photos to Radar Online, I will fucking haunt them when I die. And then you see the next photo is, and I can't, it's just, it's so PR staged, which is the unfortunate part. Is Grandpa Westcott's laying in the bed and there's, like, a TV on in the, you know, upper part where the bed person can see. And then you have the two little kids, Hilton and Jagger, or whatever his name is, Hilton and the other one. And they've got their arms around each other on the other side of the bed and holding Grandpa's hand. And the boy is looking directly at Grandpa and the girl is looking directly to frame. Directly into the camera. So we have eye contact coming from the girl. The boy is looking directly at Grandpa. Grandpa is looking, I want to say, the left corner of the room. I think he's like, you guys better, this idea better work, I think is what Grandpa's thinking. And then you have Cameron perched on the bed with Grandpa taking care of him, looking directly at him. And that this is great. I'm so happy that he has a support system. One question I do have for Cameron is, why is she in a robe? She's wearing a robe. She's wearing like this pink, I don't know, like kimono robe. It definitely looks like a bedrobe, not like a cute little robe you'd wear out and about. This looks like an outfit for bed, and she looks like she's ready for bed. So that's a little bit odd. Okay, and then there's a picture of Grandpa laying in bed, this time in a twin bed. They've moved him from the hospice bed into a little twin bed. And I'll just say, the lighting in these photos is really orange and just awful. So we know Cameron had no artistic direction here because the quality is poor. But poor Grandpa is laying in this bed, and Court Westcott, wee little man, is perched against the headboard, kind of, you know, sitting there with his arm around Grandpa, looking directly into the camera, like mad dogging directly into the camera. Like he's mad at us. I'm looking at it right now. Court has a downward turned face. You know, he's like, this is serious. Grandpa's sleeping. And this is serious. And Grandpa's more than sleeping. He's not well. He has Huntington's disease. And, you know, we definitely want Grandpa to stay housed, especially in this time. But the way Court is looking at the camera is really what I need to focus on here, because it's startling. It's startling is what it is. And these had to have been sent directly from Court Westcott et al, because none of these photos have like courtesy of blah, blah, blah's Instagram. You know what I mean? Then you have Grandpa still in the little twin bed. And this time the little boy is standing right next to the bed, and you only see Grandpa's head. And this time he is looking right into the camera, poor Grandpa. But the little boy is standing at the head of the bed, staring into the camera like very sad and distraught, because this is a very sad and distressing thing. But this is wildly staged. And again, if I'm Grandpa, oh, you just better think twice before you put me in a situation like this, photographing me. And maybe they're like, we have to do it for the case, but like, let Katy Perry evict me because I can't be seen like this in Radar Online, just in the future. So we have these really terrible, sad photos of Grandpa Westcott. And clearly we can just tell by the way that the headline's written and the photos that are shown in these articles, this was fully put out by Grandpa Westcott's little camp, you know, and more power to you. If you think it'll win you litigation, I mean, sure. Go ahead and leak your family photos to Radar Online. It's kind of weird. And it feels exploitative, but I guess so does Katy Perry evicting a grandpa from his home, don't you think? Okay, let's take a quick little break.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, so Grandpa Westcott suffers from what is known as Huntington's disease. It's a progressive brain disorder known to cause progressive dementia. So, I mean, the poor guy is just, that is not how anyone wants to spend their last, you know, time on earth. And thank God he has a wonderful family who's, you know, willing to do anything for him and help him and hang out with him. I think that that's really great. But we should talk really quickly about who Mr. Carl Grandpa Westcott even is. Because in my mind, I was like, oh, this family has generational wealth. They're very old money, you know, kind of people. So I just figured this guy inherited a bunch of money, and that's how Grandpa Westcott came to be a multimillionaire. But boy, was I wrong, okay? Grandpa Westcott, he founded, first of all, 1-800-Flowers. So that kind of threw me through a loop because I wasn't ready for that. And then he also founded First Extended Service Corporation and Westcott Communications. Okay, Carl Westcott left the army and bought his first car dealership in 1967. So right out of the gate. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention the part where Mr. Westcott, he came from a very poor family. His mom and dad were not well off at all. His dad was an abusive drunk who would make money and then run away and not give any to the mom to help care for these kids. And Carl was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm going to actually like make some money, make something of myself, and not have to rely on this loser anymore. That's what I'm guessing he thought. So he goes to the army and then he leaves the army and he buys his first car dealership. And, you know, that's a great, wonderful, big first step. But I feel like things cost less money back in the day. So I think if you're not founding your first car dealership right out of college or right out of the army, like, you shouldn't feel bad about yourself. Okay. Like, this was just, things cost less money back then. But Carl actually has owned a total of 17 car dealerships. So obviously the first one went off well and he was like, you know, this car dealership thing is really lucrative. I think I'll buy another one. Good for him. Okay. So this man has 17 car dealership money. Okay. That's the kind of money we're talking. Then in 1996, Carl sold that business, Westcott Communications, for $422 million. So he had car dealership money, 17 of them to be exact, and then he had $422 million money. That's a lot of money, is all I'm going to say. So let's drop into this little fiasco that Katy Perry has found ourselves into. Okay. Grandpa Westcott buys this house. It's this beautiful home in Los Feliz. It has a beautiful view of the ocean. It's very gorgeous. I posted some photos of it on Instagram. Go check it out. It's phenom. Okay. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous house. And it's one story, which is very important, especially if you're an older man who suffers from a progressive dementia and brain disorder. I think a one-story house is good there, and he made a good call. So he bought this house in the beginning of the pandy, like in, I want to say April of 2020. He's like, you know, I better buy me a house. This seems like we're going to have to ride this out for a while. And he did a great investment. He bought the house for, I can't remember the exact amount, but I know it was under $15 million. Paid for it. He's great. He gets into the house. He's, you know, making his way downtown, learning the layout, trying to, you know, make himself comfortable when he has to have back surgery. Oh, this man. So this poor man goes and he has back surgery. And he's recovering from it. And while he's recovering from it, you know how it is when you get surgery. They put you on all these narcotics. They're like, have some opium, have some of this, a little bit of that. So this guy's drugged up to the nines. He's on it all, morphine, whatever. And he's an old man who has, you know, some brain disorders already. So we got to make sure this guy stays comfortable, if you know what I mean? Like, we can't have him feeling bad. I mean, he's just has way too much going on. So this man's recovering from back surgery. And Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom, who Katy is pregnant at this time with her daughter, who we now know of as Daisy, they send their little representative named Bernie Goodvi, G-U-D-V-I. I almost want to put another vowel in between the D and the V, and that's why I can't pronounce it the first time. But Bernie Goodvi. I'm sorry, Bernie. Bernie Goodvi came. Bernsters came and started knocking on the door and said, "Mr. Westcott, boy, do I have an offer for you. We know you bought this house for under $15 million, and so we want to buy it from you for $15 million in cash. Okay, I'm going to facilitate this deal. I'll represent both you and my buyer." And who's the buyer? Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. So while this old man's all doped up on painkillers, on this and that and the other thing, he's like, "Sure, yeah, let me sign this contract. I'm signing it. I'm this, I'm that. Goodbye." Well, a couple days later, the painkillers were off, and Papa Westcott is like, "Whoa, did I just agree to sell my house while I was on morphine recovering from back surgery while I had dementia and a brain disorder? I think I did. I better call these people." So he gets in contact with Bernie and the gang, and he goes, "Listen, we got to cut this out. I can't be doing this. Sorry, I was like on major drugs and we need to rescind the contract." But Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom said no. No, they refused to walk away from the deal. And they were like, "Listen, you said yes. And so we already relied on that. And we're going to move in here whether you like it or not. So get your old ass out of there," is what Katy Perry allegedly said, you know, in more or less words. So they refused to walk away from the deal. Well, then Bernie, who's like, I guess a pit bull representative, goes, "Listen, old man, we're actually going to take you to court." So Papa Westcott's like, "Well, you can't fire me. I quit." And he went and he sued Bernie. And he said, "Listen, we made this deal, but I was on drugs." So he said, "We're going to rescind this contract because I wasn't incapacitated." And Papa Westcott sued Bernie in court. So it's very interesting. Papa Westcott beat him to the punch. So he obviously has some good people in his corner. Well, how bad off is Mr. Westcott? Because if he's so incapacitated, he doesn't know what's up and what's down. But wasn't he the successful businessman who like negotiated and brokered like a $422 million deal and opened 17 car dealerships? Like, the man's a whippersnapper. Like, why now? Why this sperm? And so they had a doctor come in. Both teams had a doctor come in. But Mr. Westcott's expert witness doctor comes in. And this is what he says. He says, quote, "In many ways, it appears that Mr. Westcott, a business person for most of his life, was repeating familiar behaviors, reviewing contracts sent to him, making counteroffers, having discussions with his real estate agent and advisor, looking at new potential homes to purchase, etc., without appreciating the real-life nature of what he was doing or the side effects it could have on his life." So this was someone who's named Dr. Small, and Dr. Small is a board-certified psychiatrist and dementia expert who remains an emeritus professor of psychology and biobehavioral sciences at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Wow, that's a fucking mouthful. So this man continues on and he says, "Listen, this old guy, Mr. Westcott, he had an unsound mind and he lacked the ability to understand the nature, the terms, and the consequences of this contract, including of any contract, including this contract to sell his home, and thus he was unable to freely give consent." So that makes sense to me. I mean, if you're on drugs, you can't consent to anything because you're not of a right mind. So they go, they sue in court, there's a countersuit, yada, 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 all the motions are being heard, and they've made all kinds of motions. They've had discovery issues in this case. They have excluding evidence issues in this case. Some people want stuff excluded and some people want things in. Like, they had equitable issues tried in front of just the court and no jury. I mean, they've had, you should check out the Register of Actions, which is basically like everything that's ever happened. They put a date by it and tell you what's happened. It's long. You really have to scroll. You really, really, really have to scroll. So there's been a lot going on in this case, but most notably is that there's going to be a hearing coming up, and it's only a mere status conference, I believe. Let me double check. Yes. So there's an informal status conference that's happening on 8/16. But the important part is on 8/21, there's going to be a non-jury trial. So I don't necessarily know what they're going to be talking about there. I don't know if that's the trial for this whole thing, because I didn't buy all these documents and read them to see what's going on, because I'm not a multimillionaire. Only Papa Westcott and Katy Perry are. By the way, she apparently has a net worth of like $322 million. That's a lot of money. So Katy Perry and Papa Westcott are kind of neck and neck. And then you look at Orlando Bloom, and his net worth is like a measly 15 mil. I mean, no offense, but Orlando, you need to get some more work. I mean, the woman is bringing home, and as a woman should, but I'm just saying, you need to put your due in, because it seems like someone's pulling all the weight here and it's not you. But that's for another day. Unfortunately, this isn't the first sort of legal battle that Katy Perry has had over real estate. And the next one is very interesting, but let's take a quick break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A tragic turn on the oncoming feud between pop star Katy Perry and a group of nuns trying to stop the singer from moving into their former convent.
One of the sisters suddenly collapsed and died during a court hearing today. KKL9's Tom Waite is live at the convent in Los Feliz with the latest. Tom.
And Elsa, I can tell you this has been a very ugly battle for the ownership of this convent. It's been Katy Perry aligned with the Archdiocese versus these nuns. One of them died in court today.
Katy Perry said she was going to close it. It was going to be her home.
That sister, Catherine Rose, explaining why she wanted to block the sale of her former convent to pop star Katy Perry. Rose collapsed and died in court today during a hearing involving the ongoing battle to prevent Perry from taking over the property. Late this evening, Archbishop Jose Gomez released a statement that reads in part, Sister Catherine Rose Holtzman, IHM, Immaculate Heart of Mary, passed away suddenly at the age of 89. Sister Catherine Rose served the church with dedication and love for many years, and today we remember her life with gratitude. Sister Rose and her fellow nuns, who bought the property back in the 1970s from philanthropist Daniel Donahue, wanted to sell the sprawling compound to restaurateur Dana Hollister, but a judge ruled against the sisters, siding with the Archdiocese, who agreed to sell the property to Perry.
then it was going to keep it open to the public, which Donahue wanted, and she would make a hotel.
Not only did Dana Hollister lose her bid for the property, a judge slapped her with millions of dollars in punitive damages for interfering with the sale. The sisters moved out of the convent back in 2011. As for Katy Perry, it's not clear when she intends to take over the property.
Gosh, Kyle, that was kind of brutal of you, Katy Perry. Another, in my opinion, incredibly shocking headline, Radar Online release. They said, quote, "Evil woman, property snatcher Katy Perry slammed by nephew of nun that dropped dead trying to save her convent." Quote, "She's at it again." Yeah, apparently Katy Perry has a bit of a history of preying on really elderly people in the midst of transferring ownership interests of their homes. You know what that reminds me of is there was this movie, and I can't remember where I watched it. It could have been Netflix, could have been literally anywhere else, but it wasn't in the movie theater. So that might help you narrow it down if you want to watch it. But it had the girl from Gone Girl in it, and I believe it was called I Care About You, or like I Really, Really Care or something. And it was about this woman who was like a court-appointed conservator for old people, and she ended up like stealing all their shit and leaving them destitute. And Katy Perry is giving I Really Care a Lot vibes, where she's like allegedly, it appears as though, and it might not be true, she's scamming old people for their home. But that's just what it looks like. I don't know if that's what it is, you know? So this is really crazy. This nun died in court trying to stop Katy from getting this home. This $15 million home. There's that number again. Katy Perry likes 15. Okay, so in 1972, the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary gathered their money together to buy a piece of property. And just like the sister said, they bought it from Daniel Donahue for $600,000. And Mr. Donahue was like a total philanthropist. And he even chipped in. He's like, listen, I'm even going to help you out here. I really want you guys to have this home. So he set it all up, and there the sisters went, and they moved. Okay, the house was built in 1927. It's about 8 acres, which is a fuck ton in Los Angeles. Okay, there's no space there. It is more than 30,000 square feet of living space, and it has an adjoining house of prayer used by clergy. In the early years when the sisters all first lived there, 52 of them lived there. But I mean, I guess if you have 30,000 square feet, what's 52 nuns? I don't know. But by 2011, only 5 of the sisters remained. And not to make light of the situation, but I would have loved a Real Housewives of the Convent starring all of those people. And I would want to know why it went from 52 to 5. You know, are we not getting new members? Are, you know, something's, I have questions. That's all. God bless the sisters, you know, God bless them. Well, the Archdiocese of LA forced the sisters to leave their convent. And it's like, you know, you work so fucking hard. And at the end of the day, some man's going to kick you out of your house. And that's what happened to these sisters. But they were like, I think, we actually own this house because we bought it for Mr. Donahue. And so you guys can't sell it. You can't kick us out. So they started having issues with the Archdiocese because the Archdiocese is like, no, 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 no. You are part of us. So we own your shit. That's how this works. Well, the sisters and the Archdiocese start going back and forth. Then you have Archbishop Jose Gomez. And he agrees with Katy Perry. He doesn't even ask the sisters. He's like, leave them out of this. They know not what they are talking about. They've only lived here since 1972. And, you know it like the back of their hand. But they have nothing to do with this. So Archbishop Gomez agrees to sell the house to Katy Perry without asking the sisters. Gomez, Archbishop, if you will, accepted $14.5 million in cash from Katy Perry to buy the house. Well, $14 million in cash doesn't sound like a lot when your net worth is like $322 million. And okay, I'm sorry to bring this up, but Katy Perry, if you have $322 million, if that's true, could you please send some over to the people in Hawaii because they really need your help? And you have a lot of millions of dollars, you know, I mean, enough to try to evict old people. So I just think you should help them out. But it's not my money. But if it were my money, that's what I would do. Okay. So at least two of the five sisters were like, we're not going to sell this house. Like, we are staying, right? Katy agreed to meet with the sisters and she's like, I'm going to win them over. I'm going to convince all these five women that it's like, you know, that movie about the jurors who go in the room. What's it called? A Few Good Men, I believe. No, that can't be it. 12 Simple Men. I can't remember what it's called, but the 12 people go in the jury box and they have to decide, like, you know, is the man guilty or is he not guilty? So Katy Perry's like, I'm going to do this with the sisters, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to make you all change your mind from like, she can't have the house to she can have the house. So while she's in this meeting with the sisters trying to win them over, word on the street is she starts singing, oh, happy day, oh, happy day. And I just hope that she like went full Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act and just like really went for it. I mean, she had to put it all out on the line. And so I'd like to believe that she did. But she also showed the nuns her tattoo, her cute little tattoo that had the word Jesus on her wrist. So she's really trying to win these nuns over. She's like, not only can I sing gospel, because she was a gospel singer back in the day. She grew up in a mega church. So she really tuned into that. And she's like, I'm going to win these nuns over. Well, let me tell you something about some nuns, Katy Perry. Obviously, you didn't grow up Catholic. That's clear. Because no person in their right mind who's going to win over a bunch of Catholic nuns is going to go in there singing beach ball church music. No, these are women who like do Latin mass and like, you know, pray in Latin and stuff. Like the Catholic Church is a whole nother ball game. Okay. It's like candle lit chants. So I don't think Oh Happy Day was actually the move. And then to go up to the nuns and be like, oh, sisters, like love you so much. Look it. I also love Jesus. I have his name tattooed on my wrist. The nun was probably like, Jesus, fucking Christ, God damn it. You know, cussing. I think that's what the nuns did. So then Katy goes on and she tells the nuns she's going to live there. She's going to live there with her mom and her grandmother. And this is what she envisions for herself. She tells these sisters, I'm going to live here with my mom and my grandma. And I'm going to sit in the meditation garden and sip green tea and find myself. And I'm sure the nuns are like, sis, that's what we do. We live amongst our sisters. We sit in the meditation garden. We sip our green tea and we find ourselves in each other. So you're not like saying any new information here. But I don't know. Katy just really thought she hit the nail on the head with that. And I just don't think this was a good combo. Singing Oh Happy Day to a bunch of nuns, showing them your tattoo and telling them like, oh, don't worry, I'm going to move in here with my mom. It's like, so you're going to evict us five so that you three can do what we do already here in our home that we bought in 1972? I mean, my mind would be blown. And if I were one of these sisters, I would dig my heels in. And these sisters really did not want Katy Perry to have this house. So they were like, you know what, Archdiocese, go fuck yourself. And they sold the house to this real estate developer and restaurateur. They sold the house to her. Her name's Dana Hollister. And Dana paid $15.5 million for it. So she's like, listen, Katy, I'm even going to buy this for $1 million extra than you. Okay, so here we go. What happens next? Obviously, the Archdiocese and Katy Perry are like, fuck you, Dana. And they take her to court. And at the end of that, the judge invalidated the purchase, but said, listen, in the meantime, while we're figuring this out, like this, let's pretend the sale didn't even happen. Okay, Dana, you get your $15 million back. Nuns, you get your house back. And while we're doing this litigation to find out who gets this house, Dana, you can live there, but you have to pay the nuns $25,000 a month. Why was I trying to say $50 million? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So yeah, the judge was like, pay the nuns $25,000 a month in rent during the time of this lawsuit. We'll call a spade a spade. So Katy Perry's like, you know, things don't necessarily sit well with me about Dana. And Katy Perry goes on by saying that Dana took advantage of the old, vulnerable, elderly nuns who she convinced to oppose the Roman Catholic Church. So she's like painting this woman out to be like the snake wrapping around the tree and like that story of Adam and Eve where the snake's like, oh, you're going to ruin everything. Eve, just eat this apple. Like Katy Perry's like, that's Dana. She's taking advantage of these people. Dana's the snake and all these sisters are the nuns. Well, I guess they're the nuns, but I mean, I guess they're also Eve. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while since I've done any Bible study, so you'll have to forgive me. But the Los Angeles court actually ruled in favor of the Archdiocese. So they're like, sorry, Dana, we agree with Katy Perry. And they were like, Katy, you're allowed to buy the house. Like, so sorry for this mess. And then the court found that the sisters, after all of that, didn't even have the authority to sell the house to Dana Hollister. So these poor women, you know, really went through a lot. So the court said, Katy, you get to buy the house. Great. Well, because this is the Catholic Church, which Katy Perry obviously, you know, didn't research before she went singing and showing off her tattoos to the nuns, she didn't know that the Pope has to consent to the sale. So like the Archdiocese can be like, yeah, Katy, buy our house. But the Pope, you know, at the end of the day, this is a big old patriarchy. And so the Pope is going to either get to say, sure, little Archdiocese, you can do that. Or no, I don't agree. So the Pope ended up not consenting to the sale for Katy Perry. In 2017, the Vatican was like, no. Sorry, we can't even approve this until you find a replacement for the House of Prayer. Because it's like, we can't have Katy Perry having a House of Prayer. And I want to know why not, A, and B, thoughts on Erica Jane's House of Prayer. I'd like to hear that from the Pope. So if anyone could get some ears on the Pope, like, does anyone have an in there? Let me know. What does he think about Erica Jane's Pope room or Jesus room? I mean, why can't Katy Perry have one, but Erica Jane can? You know? I don't know. I don't find that fair. I don't. So the court found that Dana Hollister intentionally interfered in Katy Perry's legal purchase of the home and ordered her to pay attorney's fees. Okay, but get a load of this. Dana Hollister had to pay $3.47 million in attorney's fees just to the Archdiocese, okay? And then another $1.57 million for Katy Perry's attorney's fees. So this woman is shelling out, I mean, if the math maths, it's close to $5 million. Close to $5 million to not even get this house at the end of the day. She didn't even get the house. That's a very expensive loss. Not a good investment. But in 2018, in March of 2018, two of the nuns were like, listen, okay, Dana, you supported us and we're supporting you. You're filing for bankruptcy and we're going to go. We're going to support you. So the nuns went there. They continued a relationship with Dana and they supported her through her bankruptcy. And one of the nuns still, she was like so pissed. She goes, Katy Perry, please stop. It's not doing anyone anything good except for hurting a lot of people. And it's like, how do you listen to an old nun say, Katy, please stop? And just be like, no, bitch, I'm drinking green tea in your garden. A few hours after the woman said, Katy Perry, please stop, that's when she died. Okay, but obviously, okay, so that happened in March 2018. Well, in June 2019, not barely a year later, the house is back on the market. So the question begs, did Katy Perry even move in? Did Katy Perry even drink tea in the garden. And all signs point to no, she didn't. So Katy Perry has a weird history of stealing houses from old people. And by the way, I posted this on Instagram and I had quite a few people reach out and tell me about their experiences with this old man in particular. And I even had someone who was like grew up nearby this old man and said that this was just like a genuine like nice guy who was like a nice neighbor to have and all this stuff. So like, I mean, if you have people saying nice things about you when you're not even their neighbor anymore, I kind of tend to believe that like you might be a nice person. That being said, I think we do remember why Cameron stopped being a part of the Real Housewives of Dallas. And that was because of the racism perpetrated by her family and actually also by this old man's family, specifically Court Westcott's brother, Clint. I can't remember his name. You know, there are all these C-letter words. Carl, Court, Cameron starts with a K. But anyway, it's something like that. Chart. I think it was Chart. Okay. And it's like Chart that, you know, Chart came out with some racist shit. It was really racist against friend of the pod, Dr. Oh my God, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me is that it's 10:30 p.m. and I'm trying to get this out. Tiffany Moon. Oh my God. Friend of the pod, Dr. Tiffany Moon. He was racist about her. And, you know, that's no good. That's pretty gross. So you do have to wonder, like, I know this man has a good reputation, but his sons don't. And I hope the apple fell quite far from the tree. I really do hope that. But I can't say for sure because I just don't know this man. I'm sorry to this man. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great week. I don't really have a criminal behavior. I mean, I guess I do. I had to refill my tire with air and, you know, they didn't have anyone out there to help me. And so I overfilled it and then I had to figure out how to like underfill it. And so my criminal behavior is this. If you're going to have a little service at the gas station, like airs for the tires, like you need to know that we don't know what we're doing with that. And so my criminal behavior is not having an attendant like there to help me fill up my tires with air. And that might be just like the stupidest thing I've ever said. But I was scared to drive after that because I'm like, so now this tire has 45 PSI and the rest have 33. Like what's going to happen? And then I had the most stressful ride home, all because no one was there to help. And so I just think if you're going to be a gas station giving away free air that goes in tires, that's dangerous and you should have an attendant. So my criminal behavior is not having an attendant. Okay, well, anyway, go follow me on Instagram. Be sure to leave a 5-star review and let me know what you want to hear about next. And also let me know whose side are you on, Team Katy Perry or Team Old Man? Let me know. Allegedly Bravo podcast is hosted, produced, and researched by Lauren Peavyhouse. Allegedly Bravo is available anywhere you listen to podcasts and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps me out. This podcast is made available by the lawyer or legal expert for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there's no attorney-client relationship between you and the podcast publisher. Allegedly Bravo podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state. Got it?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.